Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy, and let's start with the last Mishnah of the 8th chapter of Bava Metzia for OU Shnayim Mishnah program, and more on rentals. Hamaskir bayit l'chaveiro v'nafal chayav l'hamid lo bayit. So if you rent to a house to somebody and the house falls down, then you have to supply your tenant with another house to live on for the duration of the rental. And the Gemara explains that this is in a case where the rent, where you said, I'd like to rent a house like this. If you said, I want to rent this house, and you rented him this house and the house falls down, then essentially he doesn't get anything, because the owner would say to him, your luck caused the house to fall down, and therefore I don't have to supply you anything. But again, if you said, I want to rent a house like this, then, Hayak Katan lo yasenu gadol. Gadol lo yasenu katan. If it was a big house, you don't resupply him with a small house. And if it was a small house, you don't give him a big house. You give him the house that he wanted in the first place. Not the exact house, as I said, but a house like the house that he pointed out. Echad lo yasenu shnayim. So if it's a one-unit house, you don't give him a two-unit house. Shnayim, if it was a two-unit house or two houses, lo yasenu achad, you don't give him one. It has to fit the blueprints, the format, the general format of the first case. Lo yivchot me hachalonot, lo yisif aleim. In addition, when you build that replacement house, you can't build it with fewer windows, nor can you build it with more windows, unless they both agree. And I'm assuming that that final statement in the Mishnah, unless they both agree, would apply to all the previous cases. If the guy had rented one house, and now he says, you know, I kind of like two houses, is that okay with you for the rebuild? And the owner says, yeah, I got no problem with that. So obviously, if they agree to it, there's no problem. And now we move on to Perek Tet, Mishnah Aleph, which starts with more renting, but this case, not renting a house, but renting farmland. Now, when it comes to renting farmland, there are three ways that you could rent a property. The first is a straight rental, like you would rent a house or a bicycle or anything else. You give the guy a certain amount of money, or you stipulate up front, I'm going to rent your farmland for a year or for, you know, one dinar a month for 12 months. That's what you do, standard rental. More typical, and the Mishnah's focus on two other types of renting. The first type of rental is an aris, or a sharecropper, meaning you stipulate, you get the field for a year, and you stipulate that a certain percentage of the total yield of the crop you are going to share, so to speak, or actually you're going to give to the owner. So however much you make is how much you are going to wind up giving. So if it's 30% of, I don't know, 1,000 bushels, that's going to be different than if you only harvest 500 bushels, which will only wind up in half the amount, but the same 30%. And the other type of renter is a choker. A choker also does not pay in cash. He pays in an amount, but that amount is pre-stipulated. So let's say you're going to pay the guy 1 ton of wheat at the end of the year, or half a ton of wheat, or whatever makes sense based on the size of the field. Now, then it doesn't make a difference how much you plow. You could plow a ton, which means that you're going to wind up giving all of it to the owner of the field, or you could plow 100 tons, in which case you're only going to give 1%. So really it depends on how much you wind up producing, but there is a katsuv, there is a set amount of crop that you have to give the landowner at the very beginning, and that's what you have to give him, and we'll see under what conditions you might not have to give it to him. So those are the three types of renters, and now let's move on to the Mishnah. Hamakabel sademi chaviro. And the first Mishnah is really all three types of renters would fit under this law. What we're going to see in upcoming Mishnahs is that other Mishnahs really will only make sense with one type of renter, but we'll get there. Hamakabel sademi chaviro, makom shenagu l'ktsor, yiktsor. La'akor, ya'akor. La'charosh, acharav, ya'charosh. So if you rent a field, meaning a field to harvest, to take care, to an agricultural field, and the policy of that medina, or makom in this case, so the general area, the general region, has a policy that you are going to liktsor, which means to cut it with a sickle or a scythe. And when you cut it with a sickle or scythe, you essentially leave the rest of the grain stalk. So if you picture wheat, so you've got a long stalk, which you can't do anything with except for hay, which we'll get to at a later time. And then at the very top of the stalk, there are the kernel surrounded by the chaff and the shell. So when you use a scythe, luxor means you just cut it sort of towards the bottom, but you leave the stem part in the ground. So if that's the policy, then that's what you do. if the policy is to actually lock kor, which is to uproot the entirety of the stem, the entirety of the wheat stalk from the ground, which is clearly more work, at least more work up front, then that's what you have to do. You can't change your mind. You can't decide you like one over the other. The owner can't decide that he prefers you to do one over the other. You just go with whatever the policy is. And lacharosh acharav yacharosh. And if your policy is to replow the fields after you pull up the weeds. And the reason why you do that is it because it helps root out any of the weeds as well as any of the stalks that you've left in the ground and causes it to grow better, probably. I'm not a farmer, but I'm guessing that's true. So if that's the policy, even though it's a pain, that's what you have to do. And if it's not the custom, then you don't. And the Mishnah says, Hakol kimin hag hamdina, whatever the custom of the place is, or the country, or the territory, hard to say exactly how widespread Medina is, but if that's the policy of the place, that's the policy of that general area. The Gemara does say that if the policy of the general area is abnormal, if it's a minhag stone, which means some kind of cruel policy that no normal place would do, so then you do not have to halachically follow it. But otherwise, all customs that are followed in that region regarding plowing of fields and taking care of fields and harvesting fields, that you have to live by if you take the job as a renter of a field to work the field. And now the Mishnah says that just like you divide the actual harvest, which means the grains, you also split based on the same percentage. And obviously this is talking about a sharecropper, one who defines a percentage rather than a fixed amount. So you also do the tevin, which are the stalks that are still connected to the kernels. That's the top part of what you cut down. And the kash, which in modern Hebrew is hay, which is the stalk of grounds which are left uncut in the ground. And those are usable, so you can use them for burning, for fertilizer, whatever it is. So it's not just the produce which is edible that you have to share when you're sharing crop, but it is the entirety of the grain. Now, and for vineyards, similarly, kashem shecholkim bayayin, kacholkim bizmarot uvakanim. So just like you divide up the grapes or the wine, so too you divide up the branches and those tasty little grape leaves that get stuffed with rice. And you also divide up the wooden sticks. These kanim are something like a very unfancy arbor, which causes the grapevines to climb up rather than lie on the ground, which allows the grapes to grow larger and better. And the simple explanation of why you split up the pieces of wood is that you both shared in purchasing them. If you, the sharecropper, were the ones who bought all the wood to make the mini arbor to cause things to grow, then they would all be yours. And if it was all the owners, it would be the owners. And all the Mishnah is doing here is saying that regardless of the amount of work that you do, whatever percentages you decided to split the setting up of the arbor, so everybody gets their pieces of arbor back based on how much they put in. There are other opinions on that last bit of the Mishnah, but we'll stick with that.